Good morning, church. There's something with me every time I'm going to speak, I get a sore throat. I don't know. Just 2 days ago, I was singing so nice. My voice was so angelic. The birds were flying off. And suddenly, 2 days from Sunday, I woke up in the morning and that angelic voice changed. I don't know why. I honestly deduce to this. The enemy doesn't like me to use my voice because it's so angelic. Hallelujah. Amen. But nevertheless, God is a good God. Amen. God is able to undertake all circumstances we go through in life. Amen. This morning, I wanted to continue on the couple of weeks ago. I spoke on Genesis 22. You remember? What's the story of Genesis 22? Genesis 22 talk about Abraham taking Isaac on a walk. And in that walk, the intent of that walk was for Abraham to offer Isaac as an offering to God. And they go on that journey 3 days, and then they go up Mount Moriah to do it. And just before they execute the sacrifice, God rocks up. Amen? And then Abraham thanked God, and Abraham said something about that place. He called the place. The Lord will provide, in Jewish language, is the name of God. Jehovah, the Jireh. In Hebrew, there is the word the. It's not Jehovah Jireh. It's Jehovah, the provider. And that mountain became Mount, the Mount of Provisions. Amen? And then last couple of weeks, I took that journey of going on to Matthew chapter 11. What did I talk about? Come unto me, all those of you who are heavy laden. You know, this morning at prayer meeting, just about closing, Pastor Kelvin said, only one word. Nothing is impossible. I actually wrote a sermon. I didn't have time to put on computer. See, in paper, red and blue ink. Red is important, blue not so bad. See, I just, because I was on the cruise ship and I just, and God gave me, and I kept writing and writing, but no time to transfer to this. And you know, I tell you, God speaks in audible voice and He speaks in proper language terms. Amen? God really talks, you know, friend. And I thought this message was really good. And then I heard about Uncle Ken and Jenny. And then I heard about Martha and your daughter, you know. And I hear things. This word, this morning, I believe, I don't know about you, I believe it's for you. I believe with all my heart, God is able. God is able. Whatever the enemy has disenabled, God is able to put back. God is able. And I'm sure that there is a reason why it is being delivered for you this morning. Whether one, two, or all, there is an intent and purpose this morning. I hope you capture that. Amen? Let's pray. Abba, Father, we sit in your presence, Lord. And we sit in awesomeness, O Lord. Awesome God, amazing Christ. We sit in your presence knowing, God, you know our every circumstance. You already delivered the answers for us, Lord. May our hearts grasp and may our spirits connect with you this morning, Lord. That you may flow, Lord, not the words of men, but the word of Christ may flow into the inner man of our lives, Lord. That our inner man be changed. Our inner man. The recesses of our hearts. The corridors of our souls. That may change, Lord. That your word alone, Lord, your word is all we long for. In Jesus' most precious name. Amen. You know, this morning, if you have your Bible, this morning I took this verse. Only this verse came to my mind. This verse, and I sat down and I want to exploit this verse this morning. The verse says, and God is able to make all, and let's read together. 1, 2, 3. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Amen. Amen. You know, I tell you, friend, just throw away the whole statement. Take the three words, God is able, is the most powerful word in the Bible. You know, you just remove everything. God is able is the most powerful statement in the Bible. God is able to dash what you want, what you need, what you long for. God is able. Isn't that good? This portion of scripture is stuck right in the center of two chapters that talk about giving, about blessings, about tithing. Right? 2 Corinthians 9:10 is all about giving. And Paul is talking to them, teaching them about generosity, about giving, about how you should, as Christians, collect. And I like what you're doing for Auntie Anne. It's for Anne. Thank you, because it's part of the church culture. We want to collect and bless the church. Huh? And Paul writes this. And I believe that when Paul wrote this, historically, looking at the back of it, it was intended to encourage the church to continue giving. Don't stop. Your giving should not be hinged on your ability. Your giving should be hinged on God's ability. Amen? And Paul wrote this right in between to encourage each one of us. Don't stop giving. There's always a need. Amen? So, a lot of people think when I talk about this, it's going to be about money. Can be, but I like this verse. Ephesians 3:20, 21. It says this. Now to him. Listen, who is him? Not me, not you. Now to him who is able to do what? Exceedingly. Not merely, exceedingly, friend. Far beyond. Abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Remember that word, the power in us. Not the power external. The power in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. You know, I like this part. He said exceedingly. God never merely gives us. He gives us more. Amen? God is not a God who merely gives you just enough. No, no. He gives you more. Didn't he say that? Look. Exceedingly. Not only abundant. The superlative. Exceedingly abundant. How do you describe this? Huh? Maybe you need $1 and he gives you $1,000. He didn't give you $1 and 1 cent. It's exceedingly abundant. You know, I just want to divert from here and maybe just go to the topic of money. Huh? Ken, I'm not raising funds. Huh? I'm not God's fundraiser. I'm full of fun, but I'm not a fundraiser. All right, but I just look at this. I thought this is really interesting. Look at money, US. Just look at this. Money has different names. Do you know that? Not US, Singapore dollar, Aussie, but money has different names in its form. Look at this. In church, it's called offering and tithes. Right? Donate to charity, donation. Marriage, dowry. Divorce, alimony. When you owe somebody, debt. When you pay the government, it's called income tax or goods and GST and what tax they have. In court, fines. Right? When you retire, pension. When a parent gives a kid, it's called what? Allowance, pocket money. Right or not? Look at this. When you pay for your kid's schooling, school fees. When you gain from gambling, winning. Employer to employee, salary. Master to subordinate, wages. When you borrow from the bank, loan. When you offer after a great service, tips. You take taxi, train or bus, it's called fare. Kidnappers kidnap you, they want ransom. In Malaysia, they say bribe. Illegal bribe. This is all money, same thing, money. In different manner, different form, different terms. But it's still money. You know, somebody said this. What's the definition of money? You know what's the definition of money? He said, life converted to currency. Listen to this. Huh? Life converted to currency. Now I explain to you why. How many of you work? When you go to work tomorrow, or no, tomorrow no work. When you start on Tuesday, some of you clock in. Or some of you write in. or some of you register, you came in 8 hours, right? You work 8 hours. Maybe 1 week, 40 hours or 44. 2 weeks, 88 hours. In 2 weeks, if you're on 2 weeks salary, your boss or your administrator or your accountant takes that hours, calculate and translate it into your salary. So that 88 hours of your life, you gave your life to the currency and they paid you in that value. So your life is your currency. Hey, be a good Christian. When you're working, give your best. Huh? Don't cheat. It's life converted to currency. That's money. So every hour, every minute of your life costs money. Isn't that true? So don't idle. Don't sit down idly. Twiddly-dum, twiddly-doo. Eh? It's money. That's why Jesus said, you cannot worship God and money with that same life. You cannot with one life, either or, God or money. Some people choose to sell their life to money. I chose to sell my life to service to God. I can still go out and work. I'm sure I can go out. I can drive. I can talk. Honestly. But I chose to take one life and translate this one life, converted to service to God. And through that service, God is able to provide for me and my family. Amen? See the God we have. If you are struggling in any area today, God is able. Amen? I like this. I know and I've tested God's ability. You know, you look at Abraham. Abraham could call the place Jireh because he was tested and he proved to be true. Amen? You know, some of us pray for blessings. Yeah, but blessings don't just come like that. Blessings are an outpouring of your testings and trials. Isn't that true? You cannot experience healing if you don't have any ailment. True? You cannot experience abundance when you have never experienced lacking. So Abraham experienced, that's why out of his own confession, he said, this place is really a place where God there met my needs. He is able to provide the substitute sacrifice. God is able. Abraham had no clue. I tell you, honestly, I can read Abraham's mind. I'm a bit like Abraham. I'm sure when he's walking, he was thinking, hey, this God told me Isaac is my offspring. Through Isaac, many will be blessed and I will be blessed. So I'm sure Abraham came to this deduction. Either God will give me another son after this one die. Right? If I put that, God will give me another. Or, hey, God is going to do a miracle. He's going to raise Isaac up from the dead. He never thought of anything else negative. You read the story. He boldly, three things happened to him. He was willing, he was obedient, and he was trusting God for whatever God said. He just walked in his mind. Just like me. Sometimes I walk, I think, and then I knock into the wall. But you know, I'm sure Abraham was thinking. I'm sure you're thinking, I'm going through this. Is there ever a breakthrough? Will I come through it? Will there be a cooling off time? You think. While you are thinking, he has executed the answer. Out of nowhere, they see a substitute sacrifice. Out of nowhere and nothing. God is able to do from nothing. We could never do anything from nothing. We are nothing. How to do anything? Like somebody once said, Pastor Miso, I created this. I said, what did you create? He did some stupid gadget. He thinks it's so nice. And I said, where do you get the material? He said, I bought from the shop. I said, that's not creation. Create means nothing. Abracadabra. You see, only God from nothing made something, a miracle for Abraham. Out of nothing, suddenly, a ram. God is able, friend. All right. This morning, I want to share with you this, friend. This was it. God is able. Just look at this, huh? God is able to make. Make what? God is able to make. What do you want? God is able to make. But remember, Ephesians says, the power of the Spirit within you. If you don't have God with your life, and you don't have the Spirit of God, Friend, you are far from seeing God make things in your life. Because God won't make things just for a magic show or just to become popular. Whatever he does for you is to bring glory to him. So, listen, either you have God's power in you that will enable you to be strengthened to go through all the circumstances until the day where God is able to make that miracle in your life. God is able. You know, I like this one. Job says this. I know that you can do everything and that no purposes of yours can be withheld from you. Job, in his crisis, lost his family, lost his status, lost everything. Yet he can say, I, Job, know. Affirmative. I know. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can. Who is you? Yahweh. You can do everything, Yahweh. Though the counselors were against him, though his wife even was against him, Job said, I know. How many of you know God can do this? He said, I know. In the midst of my crisis, I know. In the midst of rejection, I know. In the midst of all the failure, I know that what? That you, Yahweh, can do everything. And true to him, Yahweh blessed him. Saw him through 7 times more abundantly. I know. Do you know? The question this morning is, Job knows. Do you know or not? Do you know? Don't know because I tell you. You don't know anything. Know because you found it. And you know. I know. Assertively, affirmatively, I know. I know, friend. I know my call. I know my destiny. I may not know how I end, but I know I will end eternally with God. Do you know? Job said, I know, friend. And that's what Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. God is able to make anything. You pledge to the church. You bless the missionary. You give. Don't give with this in your mind. If I give, what's going to happen to me in the next 2 days? If you give that way, you lost the spirit of giving. But you give knowing, I don't know, but I know he will take care. Amen? I don't know about tomorrow, but I know tomorrow is in his hands. Amen? I pray for you, Uncle Ken and Martha. I pray that you know in your heart, in all the anxieties, that God is still in control. Amen? Whatever they go through, there's a reason. There's a purpose. Job went through something he could never comprehend. Because Paul tells us that there's an enemy like a roaring lion going around devouring. You and I are meals for the lion if you don't take care of your life. Paul says we fight with powers of principalities and darkness. We cannot see it. That's why we need the Spirit of God, friend. And because I have that Spirit of God, I know whatever valley I go, I know I'll come out. Because you know why? He holds my hand. Do you know that in our church? Guys, you need to know that. The reason you leave church, you walk away from God, is because you don't know what God can do for you. You have a limited understanding. You only see right in front. God will. Job went through, I think you and I would never want to go through. Think of the 3 Jewish boys in that fireworks. They said, even if God don't help, we won't worship you, man. You see, how many of us there say that? Hey, please, God, rock up, man. Don't embarrass me, you know? Daniel stands up. Daniel 1, chapter 1, verse 8. He said, today, I, Daniel, declare publicly that I will not defile this body. I keep for you, Lord. Because you know why? I know you can do much more greater things through my life. Do you know or not, church? You need to know, friend. You need to know. What you know will strengthen on the foundation you stand on. He says, I know. God is able to make. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things possible. He couldn't make it any more simpler. It's possible. Test me. Try me. What did Malachi say? Test me. Open up. I'll open up the heavens and pour down. But let me tell you, as a church and a Christian, don't test God. don't ever test God. You know, how many of you parents would you like your kids to come and test you? I tell you, I dare not test my father. But just look at my father, my pants wet. 6 feet five, 258 pounds, one swing, head spin like a top. If you think my palms are big, my dad is bigger, yours, Mantia, bigger than me. I'm only just a shadow of him. But you know, because of the goodness of God, many times we test God. We push the buttons. Some of us even go to the point where we challenge God. Don't ever do that, friend. Because with God, all things are possible. He can send you to hell also. Watch it, friend. As much as he doesn't want, but in your arrogance and pride, you send yourself to hell. God is able to make whatever you go through, whatever you're planning, whatever is your issue. I myself am being blessed by what I write. Because I am a candidate of what I'm sharing this morning with you. I am a living candidate that is going through and exercising all my faith, all my years from 1970, all that I know, all that, every day. You know, as a Christian, there's no free day. Every day is a test, you go on. You can't say after 25 years, I no more test. No. Become harder. After 25, become harder. You're stronger, should be harder, right? When you go to high school, they don't give you primary school tests. How many of you had primary school tests in high school? The tests become harder. But I'm a candidate, and I'm sharing with you the very thing that is resonating in my heart. I know. I wake up and I say, Lord, I know. I know today you do something greater. I know today, Lord, it's a breakthrough day. You know, I give you a tip. I wake up every morning and I say this, God, make today a making a difference day for me. Every day is a making a difference day, either in my life or somebody's life, either in my circumstance or somebody's circumstance, that I, as I am being made new, I make a difference in somebody's life. Amen? Because God is able to make. God can make. Number two, he said, God is able to make all grace. The Greek word for grace is charis. Charis can be translated to gifts. Gifts. Grace is a gift. Amen? How many of you apply for grace? How many of you set for a test? No, grace is free. Freely given. God gives. God gives us what? Able to make all grace, all gifts abound in your life. You can make. Do you know the fact that we got life is a grace from God? Wow. To wake up today, Sunday morning, the 11th of March. Wow, it's grace. Don't take grace for granted. That's the most dangerous, subtle way. You take grace. God, you must wake me up. Who said so? You know, when I had a friend, a good friend, super fit. Because of his super fitness, he challenged me. I went and bought shorts, t-shirts, running shoes, everything I bought. And I told my wife, I'm going to exercise. Really? Because this guy was like me. I mean, I'm a good guy. He was a bit worse than me. But we used to drink and fight. And suddenly he had a change in life. He became a marathoner. He runs a marathon almost every fortnight. And he fit. One day, he was running. Just 18 months more to retire. He has one daughter. I'm the godfather. They were planning after retirement to go on the world tour. As a family, they have never traveled. 18 months from the day. Jogging. Round, jog, sit down, dead. Just sitting down. Died of a massive heart attack. Super fit. The running shorts and shoes still I didn't use anymore. Then I realized one thing, not about the fitness. You and I don't know if tomorrow is a gift for you. So better live the grace and the gift today. Tomorrow's manner is another. God don't like old manner, just live the gift. I outlived him, and he used to tell me, you're going to die, you know. I said, when people talk like that, it's very frightening. Eh? They point at you, you're going to die, you know. One day you get a heart attack, he told me. I said, hey, amen, please, no. Even though I'm a Christian, I feel frightened. People talk this sort of thing. Eh? You're going to die. Your fatness will kill you. Yeah, wow. But you know, grace, God's grace. You know, friend, the fact that your kids come back from school and it's a grace from God. It's a fact that you can live and say, I wish to see grandkids. I don't have. Just like when Anne was carrying, I feel, hey, I'm not a grandfather yet. Huh? The baby looking at me, I say, I'm not a grandfather yet. Huh? But you know, it's a gift from God. It's a gift, friend. God is able to give all grace. 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 just now. Now 2 Corinthians 8, 9. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake and my sake, he became poor, that through his poverty, you might become rich. God gave us his life. His life is the richest life. Amen? He gave it gracefully. He became poor. You know, you and I have never reached that level of giving where we become poor until we give everything. None of us have reached that. I honestly say, our mathematics will tell us not to do that. Our logic will say, don't do it. But Christ went beyond logic and reasoning. He gave all. He became poor that you and I became rich. Can you see that? A God that is able to do this. Any other gods can do, they rob you. He did it for you and I. He is able. If he was, listen, if he was willing to become poor, tells us a lot about his love for us. I will do it for my wife, but I'll take some money from her, pocket money. Yeah? You know what the Bible said? He did it for people who hated him. Even though we were sinners, yet he loved us and gave us everything. God is able. Amen? God is able, church. This is not words. This is the words of St. Paul. This is the word of God in his own words. That God is able to give you all gifts. What? Let me make this clear. God is not going to give you your greed. God is going to give you your need. Not your greed. Not what I want. What I need. There's a difference between wanting and needing. Huh? If you say one, we can go on from 1 to 1,000. I want. I want my hair back. I love to have my hair back. I love to stand near the fan and I feel the hair. Whew. Now so cold if I put near the fan. Huh? Oh, icy head. I would love to be young again. Who doesn't want? That's not a need. That's a want. But I would want God to meet my needs. And what is the need that I have? Is God, that I need you every day of my life. In the total summation of all your needs is to need God. When you have God, you have all things. That's the total summation of your need. I need you, Lord. I need you. This tells me of God's powerful blessings. The potential of his blessing is he can meet your needs. Earlier on, he said God is able to make. That was the power of his promise. Hey, God never lies. Huh? His promises are true. Huh? He said, if I will, I will. God is able. Generosity does not originate with our ability. It originates with God's ability. Like it? That came to my mind like a flash of lightning. Whew. He said, generosity does not originate with your ability. I don't care whether you can or not. It's not about that. It's about me. We said we are generous to people we like. Or maybe I can get something from you. Or hopefully I'm investing for long term. God's investment is I'm willing to write it off as a bad debt because I love you. Amen? God is able to make all grace abound. What is abound? More than I need. Abound. I like that in food. In food terminology, I like that. More than. I like when I see a bigger spread, suddenly my appetite becomes better, you know. Yeah, I'm motivated when I see the food. I always say, wow, so much of food. Really, I can finish this one. I already in my mind, I know which one I want to finish. Yeah? But when I see a bit, I feel sorry for the next partner that's sitting. What if I eat all, he may not have food. Then sympathy kicks in and I feel so guilty, you know. But when there's a widespread, you notice or not? The danger about abundance is this. We don't know how to choose now. Choice kicks in. Greed walks in through the door. Huh? greed knocks the door and walk into your life. But he said, God is able to make all gifts abound in your life. This is a good verse. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have more than a life more abundantly, friend. Life more abundant. But Lord, I just drive a simple car. He said, the car is not life. I only got 20 bucks in my pocket. He said, 20 bucks is not your life. But my life is, you have me in you. That's life. Amen? The fact that you can wake up and smile is life. I remember when I heard about Uncle Ken, and I was telling him, I reminded me of 2015 when I had the TIA, the stroke. And fear suddenly gripped your heart. Will my hands move again? Will I talk well again? Well, the fear becomes the real deal now. And the fear triggers and escalates that sickness till it hurts you badly. But God, look at life. I'm so happy I can walk. Hey, every day, for the last few weeks, every day I walk 5 miles. Not 5 meters, no. 5 miles. Got S, not E in it. 5 miles. I love walking. I'm Johnny Walker, 120 years, and never stop walking. I love walking. And so I take my wife, she walks one round, she's tired, I say, you go home. I continue. I love. Why you think I do it? Not that I want to eat more. No. No need walking, I still can eat. But I do it because, I begin to realize this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we forget that we have something holy in us. 2, I know my family history. Everybody kicks the bucket with the heart. Heart attack. From my father right down to my uncle all. One by one, 260 pounds, 270 pounds. One heart attack gone. My uncle is 6, he's 7 feet 2. Big German dude. One heart attack, one bundle of lump on the floor. And I want to keep my 2, I want to see my kids grow up. Thirdly, I want God to use my life in abundance until he said, enough, get off. I'm tired of seeing you. Remove you. But I want to live. Life is that. Because if I don't take care, there's an enemy that will take care on my behalf and he will ruin your life. If you don't read the word of God, there's an enemy that will run your life. Because friend, the enemy stops you from reading. Because he knows what an amazing life you will become when this word gets inside of you. When the word goes in, he knows he'll be kicked out. So he doesn't want to evict. He sends you to sleep. Hallelujah. Go sleep. Nice dreams. Count the sheep. But take care, friend. God is able in abundance. God wants to give you in abundance. Whatever you invest into Anne's ministry, whatever you invest into church, let me tell you, go with this understanding that God, when he blesses me in abundance. But I don't give because I want. I give it with a heart. And I know my God will return to me, not merely, but more. Amen? That's what the church is. That's what we invest. Some of us have the ability to earn more money. God gave you more not because he likes you more than me. Listen, friend. God never does that. God bless you because he gives you the ability to bless more. I'm not doing the fundraising for church 10th anniversary, yeah? I will be with you guys. I'll do my best, but just want you to know, God is not only talking about money. He's talking about time, your talent, and your treasure. He's able to take care of all of it, friend. Listen to this, the continuation. The reason God is able to abound is that you always, listen to that word, not sometime, not half time, not maybe, but always, all sufficiency, man. In all things. He didn't say some things. Special thing. All things. All things your mind can comprehend. If it's within the will of God, he'll do it for you. Pray for my kids. I pray for my kids every day, I pray for them. Some of them have been hurt. But I pray God, it's not the hurt. I pray that the awareness of God becomes something in their life. That God wants to, friend. All sufficiency. Listen. God wants to make sure that we have sufficiency, that we don't lack. Now, I want to get clear. I'm not promoting prosperity gospel. There's one gospel that says everything is yours. You claim. And we claim everything. And then there's another gospel called the poverty gospel. You cannot have anything. You don't wear shirt and pants, wear sarong. You don't drive a car. There's a poverty gospel being preached, and there's a prosperity gospel. But God is preaching a gospel of all sufficiency in me. Amen? Not in anything. In me, you have all sufficiency. There's too much of prosperity out there that make poor Christians feel guilty. And then there's so much of false poverty out there that make the genuine ones that God has blessed guilty. But no, my God supplies all my need. God is not going to give you, when he says sufficiency, he's not going to raise money you can buy a $65 million jet or a Jaguar. No, he's not talking about this sufficiency, friend. He's talking about the sufficiency of his life in yours, the fullness of his life in your life. Amen? I am full because the fullness of Christ fills my vacuum. And my God shall supply all your need. Amen? You know, friend, don't ever quote this to people if you have never trusted in it. Don't go in falsely, brother, God will supply. Don't do that. If you have never experienced and had it, you are giving him a false encouragement. Sometimes words are cheap. What did James say? If you see your brother sitting by the road and struggling, you go and pray and tell him all the powerful praises, but you don't help him one dime. You did nothing. You did nothing. You made it worse for him. You make him feel guilty now. All right? Make sure when you go through. So when you go through a circumstance, God is preparing you so that next time you can tell somebody, brother, I've been there. My God will supply your need. Because you know why? My God has supplied mine. May have wine, sufficiency, may have an abundance for every. If you read that verse alone twice, abound and abundance. This word abound and abundance appear twice. Abound and abundance. You see the emphasis that Paul is saying. He's saying, friend, whatever you give to the Lord, do not fear. God will double barrel you. Abound and abundance. Amen? Paul uses all the superlatives, all sufficiency, always. He used all that to encourage you, brother. My God will do it. Fear not. Doubt not. Trust God. Amen? Titus says this, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good work. Hey, friend, as much as we love the Lord, we sing, good works must be a form of expression of the love of God in our hearts. Good works. But don't substitute faith with good works. You need both of it. Good works. Hey, do something good out there. Do something that God can get the glory. Do something. When you do something, don't blow your trumpet, okay? Let God blow the trumpet for you. But God will give us for every good work. Every work that we do is for God. Good works. God wants us to know that this is his purpose. This is the purpose of his promise. That he gives us everything, that he's able to do everything for one reason. That our lives become a life that can do good works for him. Amen? Not for myself, but good works that God may be glorified. And sometimes as church, we must be careful. We get so insulated in a box. And we forgot outside, there's a dying world. There's a hungry world. There's a broken world. There are kids on drugs and alcohol and gangs. There's a dying world out there. Sometimes when we sit in a box, we feel so secured, so comfortable. But little do we know, we're actually weaker than the ones outside. For when the day of tests come, we die. He says every work will be tested through the fires and the water. Every work will be tested. God will be glorified. You see, in Hebrews, he says that all this that God does is to make you complete in every good work. I'm doing all this so that you will be complete for every good work. To do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's what God is able to do. He does it not to make us special, not to separate. He makes us that we can together do good works for him. is able. Amen. Can you imagine in your hands today, Cynthia, we have the tools and the gifts and the talents that can really change the world for Jesus. But if we don't do that good work, that tool is of no use in your hand. That gift is of no use. You know, I like this story. This guy is a great British preacher called Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Have you heard of him? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This man is a man of God. This man is a preacher. And this is a beautiful story he shared. He said one day, while returning from the country, he had gone to the British Isles, the country he went, he preached. Now he was coming back 4.5 hours to the city. And he jumped up a train, carrying his bag, his Bible, his overcoat. He's got a hat on always. And he jumped up and he just walked into any cabin and he sat down. And then he started going through his pocket. Alamak, lost my ticket, man. I thought I'm the only one. Charles Spurgeon also lost. So we are both in the same league, you know. I always lose. Even car park ticket I lost. And then after pay $24, find the ticket underneath the chair. Terrible. But this Charles Spurgeon, then in the train, he looking. Where? He looking, everything. Take care. And then the guy sitting in the cabin, another guy look at him and say, sir, what's wrong? He said, I think I lost my ticket. And he said, on top of it, I lost my wallet. And I also lost my watch. He's going and he's sitting down there. And the man said, check your this, check. He said, I've checked everything. He sat down. He just sat down. Still his mind thinking, where's the ticket? Huh? Maybe he didn't buy, he doesn't know. And then just as he's dead, the train conductor comes up, checking the tickets. And Charles Spurgeon looked at this guy, and he looked at the ticket, and he knew his destiny is off the train. But just as the ticket master comes into that cabin, he sees the other guy and he salutes him and he said, Mr. William, have a good day. And he walked on. And then Charles Spurgeon told the guy, hey, something's not right. He didn't check my ticket. Why he didn't ask me? Just keep your mouth shut enough. I will keep quiet and smile. He asked the guy why. Charles Spurgeon told him, he said, you know, I've been on my Lord's business for many years. Many times I've been in this situation. And every time God will rock up and help me. And God will undertake. And then this man said, I'm so glad to hear that. Because this time, what you told me, your God has helped you. He said, you know why? I'm the general manager of the trains. And you sat in my cabin. And because of me, they overlooked your fare. Jesus is the general manager of our lives. Can you imagine if you and I are in the same cabin as Jesus? And Charles Spurgeon said, oh, my Lord. He just said it, oh, my Lord. And he reflected it. He had done God's work and he was coming back. And his God is able, even in this minute situation, to take care, to lead him into the general manager's cabin. And this guy, the ticket master, salutes him and says, Mr. Williams, have a good day. And Charles Spurgeon said, why didn't he ask me? God can lead you to places and spaces in life where he takes care of you. Charles Spurgeon was not a cheat. He was going to tell that man, sir, I've lost my ticket. And you know. But apparently, at that time, Charles Spurgeon's name was always on the newspaper. Good, it's something good for publicity. Today I saw my friend got a lot of publicity on the announcement. But Charles Spurgeon said this, and then I tell you, friend, when I read this little story, I said, many times I've experienced that. Many times. And because it's little, we have in our mind now made big and small miracles. Friend, God is able. God is able. Amen? Do you believe God is able to undertake your situation? Don't give up hope, friend. The hope is the medicine for longevity in life. That's the only medicine. I know and I hope in my God. Amen? That God is able. Beyond all things, God is able to enable me and to see me through and to do His great work. I encourage you this week. Go back, read the verses. Let the scripture enrich your soul. Amen? Let the scripture enrich. Not the words of what I share. Let scripture script within you, the life God has for you. Hallelujah. Let's pray.